Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have been, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question. I've been separated for 9 months. I'm working on a divorce. Is it okay to date? I believe it is. But she's not comfortable with being around people who know my divorce is not final. Can you help? He kind of answered it when he said, if she's not comfortable, it's not a good gig. And Pat, you have some questions about dating?
I am 58 years old,
and
I've been divorced for years. I was watching the Oprah show the other day, and they were talking about...
They were talking about sexual desire.
How does that factor in if you're after menopause?
Obviously, being postmenopausal, you know, you aren't going to have the same pheromones, but then the men you're probably going to be dating, they're not going to have that need to mate with you, for children. How do you feel about hooking up with somebody else?
To bring Carol to your stage.
All you have to do is listen to www.blogtalkradio.com, Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and I have devoted this show to sexual addiction and all the other addictions that fuse together and make it very, very difficult to have a normal life. And you can listen to me on iTunes by going to Hope, Strength, and Recovery with Carol the Coach, or you can just Google with iTunes sexual addiction. And my show is the only show of its kind. You know, sexual addiction is something that we're dealing with, and it's epidemic. It is rampant, and so many people don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to read. They don't know who to talk to. So this show will help you every week learn something more about what you can do if you believe you have a sexual addiction or if you love somebody who has a sexual addiction. Now, tonight, we are going to be talking to Jenna from the Meadows, and she has devoted her life to helping people to understand why inpatient treatment may be necessary to work on emotional, physical, sexual traumas that occur that contribute to any kind of addiction. And most of you know that the Meadows of Wickenburg, Arizona, is recognized as a premier treatment center. It is one of the best in the world. And Jen is going to be talking about different criteria that she feels makes the Meadows very different from other treatment centers. They do a lot of emotional trauma work. Now, for somebody who's listening and who may have listened to the show before, you know I said there's really two types of sex addicts. One type has created behaviors in his or her life that has become obsessive and compulsive and almost, if you will, a habit disorder. They can't stop, and it seems to be getting worse. And it's as if it's embedded into the brain a certain routine that they can't stop. Now, those people may have some sort of trauma, but they may not. And so a certified sexual addiction therapist is somebody that can help them to determine what is going on within them that continues to create this obsessive compulsive behavior. The other type of person that has this problem more than likely experienced some sort of physical, social, sexual, or emotional abuse in their past. And on some conscious, unconscious, or subconscious level, they are reenacting the trauma. And when they reenact the trauma, they continue to create in their life a very similar experience to what they experienced as a kid. Let me give you some examples. You know, if you were sexually abused as a child, if you participated in sex play that felt wrong, you may have some sort of curiosity about that that you then reenact as a teen, as a young adult, and even as an adult. I was working with a woman the other day who is the mother of five. She has a wonderful husband. She's been married 22 years, and she continues to have anonymous sex with other people because she was traumatized as a child. She was sexually molested and exploited by her family. And so you would think that the normal person who had been sexually abused as a child would absolutely steer away from that behavior. But what we know to be true with sexual abuse is that oftentimes that behavior becomes ingrained. And despite the fact that it causes a lot of trauma, it causes a lot of heartache, shame, guilt, anger, sadness, it is also then something that that person is magnetized to as they get older. And so they reenact the trauma over and over and over again until they get help. Now, to get help requires that you get specialized treatment from someone who knows about trauma bonds and knows about trauma reenactment. However, sometimes the trauma is so deep that you need to remove the person from their environment and put them in a safe and supportive environment where they can really do intensive work, not just an hour or two a week, not just 3 days a week for 3 hours, but truly day in and day out for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, perhaps even 12 weeks, depending on how extensive the trauma was. And Jenna's going to be talking about her treatment center that she works for and what kind of services they offer, because I think it's important for you to know what is out there for you. You know, how do you find a treatment center that specializes in drug, alcohol, and sexual abuse trauma? And so we're really excited to have her on the show. She's going to be coming on in about 5 minutes, and we're going to be talking about the treatment program that the Meadow offers, which is specifically designed for trauma survivors. You know, the Meadow has been in existence for 35 years, and they've been helping trauma victims heal and learn the skills to cope with the devastating effects of this trauma. And I know that if you're listening, it's very likely that you experienced things in your childhood that you have either never talked to anybody about, or you've talked to one or two people and you've been belittled or demeaned or dismissed. maybe you worked with a therapist, but you just didn't really feel like you got to the core of the problem. And that's when oftentimes we recommend taking it the next level. And that can make a difference in a life or death situation. It can make a difference in you really healing and kind of rebirthing yourself and becoming new and whole again. I mean, there is no doubt the trauma leaves scars. But, you know, a scar in and of itself is something that actually makes the skin stronger. And so when it's dealt with correctly and when you are able to put the pieces back together and rebuild your life, you are stronger as a result. You do move from that victim state to a survivor state, and you really are empowered to know your sense of self. And that's what this life's all about, getting a grounded sense of yourself, being authentic and transparent, developing healthy relationships, raising kids in a trauma-free environment, and making a difference in your own life, and then again, of course, in the lives of others. So now, if you have a question while we're talking, I want you to write down this number. It is 646-595-3284. And if you're at the computer right now, since this is an internet radio show, I know a lot of people actually just download the show and listen to it at their convenience, but if you're right in front of the computer and you're listening to us live, you might get on www.themeadows.com or look at their blog site, which is www.addictionrecoveryreality.com. Both of those places are great resources for getting more information about what's out there to help you. So how do you know when you really need residential treatment? I believe it's when your trauma is so great that you don't feel like you can deal with it on an outpatient basis. Or perhaps you've dealt with it on an outpatient basis and you're spinning your wheels. I know a lot of my clients have worked with me. I think I'm a great therapist. I think I typically have good rapport with clients. But truly, their life is so fast and they've got so many obligations that they can't really devote themselves to healing properly. So taking them out of that environment and putting them in a residential treatment center in a hospital setting can be very, very, very healthy, especially when that hospital setting or that residential treatment center focuses on all the work you need to do to get healthy and the self-care that you need to pursue to really get to know yourself even better. I have lots of clients that can't stop their addictive behavior. And when that occurs, I say, you know what, it's time to get yourself into a residential treatment center that can actually provide you the support that you need to get healthy. You know, let's face it, our loved ones, they do the best they can with what they know. But sometimes COSA isn't enough. Sometimes Essanon, SAA, SA, sometimes the 12 steps aren't enough. And when that's the case, you need to compound that with other treatment types. And when you do that, then clearly you maximize the benefit of the healing that you so deserve. And so I am a big believer in taking it that next level despite the cost, because you're worth it. And that's what counts. And sexual addiction is an opportunity to really allow yourself to grow and to be stronger. And that's why this show is so important. We teach you ways to do that. And so I want to welcome Jenna to the show. Jenna, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you know, I was excited because obviously you represent a residential treatment center that is the best. It's one of the best in the world. And so I thought if you could talk a little bit about programming tonight, especially emotional trauma that occurs in most people that have addictions and that ties so well to the Meadows. Tell me a little bit about your definition of emotional trauma.
Sure, thank you. Well, the Meadows, as you mentioned, does an extraordinary job working with trauma, and we have specialized treatment designed to address and heal trauma of all types. There's physical trauma, psychological trauma, which we call at the Meadows the big T traumas. And when I think of the big T, I think of catastrophic events, a rape, a tragic accident, something we just can't get past. But at the Meadows, we also focus on what we think is often the most damaging, which is those little T traumas, the emotional abuse or neglect that is, damaging to an individual's emotional development. And I say that they're little T's because they're inflicted without intent. They're often covert. They happen early in our childhood developmental years. You know, as children, we haven't formed good boundaries. So we're like sponges, and we absorb all that's happening in our environments. And what I've learned in dealing with countless patients and their families is that, you know, no family system is perfect, and there are no perfect parents. And so, you know, as children, we're taking in all types of abuse. And again, without intent, you know, it could be a harsh word or something that really damages and impacts our self-esteem, as you were mentioning earlier on your show. And
certainly our parents may have had problems that kept them unavailable. And so they may have had problems with alcohol or drug abuse, and they just weren't there for their children. And so kids grow up experiencing the little T's, which you refer to as emotional abuse. And can you give us an example of something that might have happened to a patient that they just didn't seem to be able to get over?
Well, I'm not a clinician. I want to say that. I'm a lay person specializing in business development, but I talk to countless patients. And I've heard some, you know, pretty tragic and horrific stories. I think some that come to mind would be, you know, my mom was just emotionally not there for me. She never said I loved you. I never heard that I was good enough. You know, and at the Meadows we talk about being good enough or perfectly imperfect. And I think that emotional avoidance by a parent is, you know, extremely damaging. You know, maybe mom was experiencing her own loss or grief at the time or struggling with her own addiction, and she wasn't emotionally there for her children. And so that was extremely damaging for this individual.
And so this kind of emotional trauma then is so difficult to deal with that oftentimes people mask it with drugs or alcohol or sex or other process disorders. And
absolutely.
So when would you advise somebody to look at residential treatment as an option?
I think that residential treatment is required when people lose the ability to be functional. They've lost their authentic self. They have the inability to form a relationship and maintain a relationship, and I should say a healthy relationship with boundaries. You know, they're medicating with alcohol or drugs or some other process addiction, sex, to mask the pain that they're feeling. And you know, they're having a hard time functioning in their jobs. I think that they've been working with an individual therapist for quite some time and they're in a stuck place and they're just not getting better. That's when I think inpatient treatment is really warranted.
Mm-hmm. And I know that this can seem like a real drastic resource for a lot of people that have these emotional traumas and are masking the traumas with all sorts of drugs or alcohol or sex. And so I realized as I was looking through the Meadows website and the material that I have that much of the work that's done at the Meadows is twofold. I mean, it really works on getting to the root of the problem and dealing with the core issues that seem to play themselves out over and over and over again, not being good enough, not being worthy, suicide, shame,
mm-hmm.
guilt,
yeah.
all those negative feelings that keep people in a one-down position. And then the other thing I noticed is that you have a lot of resources for people to actually live life in a different way, whether that's yoga or Pilates or, meditation or body work. Can you talk a little bit about some of the services that are offered at the Meadows?
Sure. Well, I think that the Meadows is different in that we go beyond a singular level addictions treatment. We take an integrated 12-step but holistic approach. We're treating the mind, body, and spirit. We're incorporating meditation, acupuncture, yoga, tai chi, equine therapy. We look at spirituality in the importance of recognizing that you must have a higher power in your life in order to recover, fully recover. We take a look at your physical fitness and your nutritional wellness as well. So really incorporating the holistic approach to a higher degree, I think, than most programs, and incorporating all types of treatment modalities to really create a comprehensive yet customized treatment program for the individual based on their needs and their disorder and the level of their trauma.
So if somebody were to come to the Meadows, they would have an individual therapist,
yeah.
and then they would go to group.
Mm-hmm.
And what else would they do during their stay, which really is typically at least how many days?
Well, it's 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
so 35 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you just a little bit about the treatment experience, if I could.
Please.
Week one is integration into the program. Obviously, after they've been detoxed, there's psychological testing that happens. There's medical testing. They're integrated into their groups, their process groups. They begin their step work, beginning with step one. Orientation happens. And then in week two, which is really the signature of the Meadows, is what we call our Survivors Program. And the Survivors Workshop is offered on the inpatient basis, but also on an outpatient basis. So inpatient clients will be dealing with the Survivors Workshop as part of their inpatient treatment stay. And Survivors Workshop is specifically designed to address the origins of adult dysfunctional behavior by exploring childhood issues that have really fueled the addictions and the relationship issues. So going back all the way to childhood, birth to age 17, it's a very intense week. There's multiple treatment modalities utilized during this process. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to shed all of the pain and really begin working for a higher level of healing. And then week three.
Can I stop you for one
mm-hmm.
second? Because you call it Survivors Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And so why did you give it that name? What is that really a metaphor for?
Well, Pia Melody designed our model, and
mm-hmm.
she is responsible for designing the Survivors Workshop, which is, just as it says, survivors of trauma, survivors of abuse, and it's an integral part of the Meadows. It's our signature workshop, but it's also the difference in our treatment program. Looking all the way back at the core issues, looking at the family system, looking at the roles within the family, all of this is specifically designed to address and heal those early childhood traumas I've been talking about.
So when you say looking at the family system,
mm-hmm.
you as a resident would explore your relationships with all the significant people in your childhood from ages 0 on up to 17, and you'd kind of go through and identify things that had hurt you or that had caused you pain or that you had kept secret.
Absolutely.
And you do that individually and with other members of the treatment center and the residents there?
Well, you're put in a small process group, generally 4 to 6 people maximum, and the groups are designed to be usually disorder-specific. So, you know, if it's trauma and addiction issues, that's one workshop. If it's sexual addiction, that would be a separate group. So, like disorders, and we try to keep them age-appropriate and gender-specific. But, yes, small process groups, and an individual will share, you know, with the individual therapist facilitating the group about their life experiences. And, you know, everyone's story is different, and the approach that the therapist or facilitator uses is customized based on, you know, the data that they're receiving and the feedback that they give to that patient. But, yes, other members of the group are witnessing, and then they provide feedback in a loving and supportive way. So it's a very safe, healing environment. And I think in that intimate group setting, you form, you know, really strong relationships with the folks that are in your group. And
yeah, they become your family.
They become, yeah, they share your deepest, darkest secrets and you theirs. And I think what's also important to mention is that, you know, confidentiality is highly regarded at the Meadows. I mean, we take confidentiality to the extreme. So everyone signs the oath of confidentiality statements. And everyone respects it because they're all going through their own stuff, so to speak, and they recognize and respect and try, you know, to adhere to privacy and respect, and I think that's important.
Well, and I know that I've had people that have gone to the Meadows, and they went for their own trauma, but in listening to other people discuss their family situations and what they went through, they realized that they had layers and layers of trauma that they hadn't even really identified. They had either resisted it, repressed it, suppressed it, denied it. Mm-hmm. And so they were, for the very first time as an adult, able to look at all the layers as opposed to the one that seemed to bother them the most. And this was instrumental in their healing. And they wouldn't even have known it if they hadn't listened to another one of their group members talk about their pain.
That's absolutely true. And I think that, you know, I think there are instances where individuals are triggered by someone else's trauma. And just as you said, you know, all types of memories surface that they, you know, had buried deeply in their subconscious. And I think it's just such a powerful statement that you can, you know, rid yourself of all of this pain in such a wonderfully supportive way with people who have been through, like, you know, like circumstance. And as I said, everyone's story is different, and oftentimes you think you've heard, you know, just you think your problems are the most horrific, and then, you know, you realize that, wow, you know, maybe my life wasn't so bad. And so that offers people hope as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I always say that when you're a part of a group, you walk away either saying, my situation is absolutely the worst, or mine doesn't compare to other people. Other people have way worse lives than I do. And either one of those can be very valuable if it is valued in a group situation. And so it makes sense that it's not just the therapist. It's not just the clinicians there that are there to support, but it's also this group of people that bond as family who are going to support you before, during, and even after they leave the Meadows. Because I know that some of my patients literally talk to their group every single week, even though they've been out for months. They still are part of that integral group that helped them to heal. And that is just so amazing because life's all about relationships, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it's so true. And as a participant of either the workshop on an outpatient setting or an inpatient setting, you're considered now a Meadows alumni. And that offers you that ongoing support that you need, and we encourage that. We have an alumni office that is there to assist clients who are struggling, if they need more resources, or myself as a liaison for the Meadows, They can call and ask for maybe groups in their area or meetings. That's part of what we do as our outreach and our responsibility to our patients.
Now, I would imagine that orientation week one is very scary because people don't know what to expect, and they're fairly timid and maybe even resistive and guarded. And then I would think week two would be incredibly empowering, incredibly emotional, and literally, if you're becoming a survivor, you're growing stronger from all the wounds and the trauma that you've suffered as a child. Now, what is week three like?
Week three is continued process work, continued group work, continued step work. And they start to talk about what's going to happen in week four, which is family week, which is oftentimes, you know, the game changer. It's the opportunity to bring in the family and look at each individual. Well, first let me take a step back and say that family is defined as whomever the patient feels they would like to participate in their treatment experience. Oftentimes it's parents and siblings. It could be spouse, children. So it's whomever the patient decides to invite out to the program. And Family Week is a week-long process. It's over 40 hours of psychoeducation, group work, individual work, family work. Really, really powerful week. And I think that the Meadows approach and looking at the whole family system is oftentimes what truly makes the difference, because each individual family member recognizes their role, their part in the affected patient's addiction and or trauma, and they learn skills on how to redefine you know, themselves and how they're going to go forth and be loving and supportive of the patient. And maybe, you know, it's a recognition that they need to do their own work. And oftentimes I make more referrals out of that family week for family members that recognize their own issues and now say, you know what, I really need to seek treatment myself. And so it's really just the start of the healing process. It's by no means healing the family, but it gets everything out into the open, and it gives everyone a chance to, you know, really kind of create a plan to move forward in a healthy family system.
So where do the families stay that come to visit during week four?
Families stay in a hotel nearby, well, actually a group of hotels. The Meadows has, you know, long-term relationships with the hotels in the area, and so they stay in a hotel. And then they come to the campus every day, beginning at 8 in the morning, and then they participate in the treatment experience. And they could be on campus until 5, 6, 7 p.m. in the evening, depending on, you know, the individual's treatment plan. They may participate in art expressive therapy. They may be asked to do their own trauma timelines. It just really depends, like I said, on the customized treatment plan for that patient and that family.
Well, and so if I understand you correctly, week four is an opportunity for the residents to actually practice some of the skills they've learned. They get to share the insights they've gained from weeks one, two, and three. And they do that with their other residents, with the other residents around them. Is that correct?
That is correct, and they may share in other family groups, so other family members from another patient's group, family group, will combine. So it's a very powerful week, and for some families, it's the first time that they've ever learned boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never had that experience in dealing with another in a, you know, a very... what's, for lack of a better word, I think just a very systemic approach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would suspect that what you're saying is not only is this super therapeutic for the resident because he or she's being supported by the other residents, by the other clinicians. They're practicing new skills. They're sharing their feelings. They're learning whether it's safe to attach. But then the family members are learning things about themselves, doing their own work, doing some of the same work that the resident did, having great insights about themselves and the emotional traumas that they've experienced, and are maybe for the first time ever getting to validate each other and appreciate each other for the new start that they're getting.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, okay, that's week four. And
then
you make referrals for the family. You know, in the 80s, when I first started out as a clinician, I was mad that hospitals that were working with patients psychiatrically, that there was just one identified patient. I said, we need hospitals that house the whole doggone family so that everybody can get healthy. Because when you make one person healthy and you return them back to their original environment, they may revert back. But if you share that health with other family members, the success rate is much better and the trauma is less likely to occur again and again and again. So this is kind of a compromise in that, no, you don't hospitalize or make these people residents, but you really teach them some of the very same things that the identified patient, if you will, the resident, has learned over the last 3 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say that that is very true in 98% of the cases that, you know, they go on to do more work for themselves. And
now, what happens if a resident has a family member who gets disgusted? Maybe they're not ready for this. Maybe they just don't have some of the strength yet, and they walk out. I'm sure that happens from time to time.
You know, I don't sit on the clinical side, so I'm not sure that I could answer that appropriately, but I can tell you that I'm sure that it has probably happened. I know that there are often challenges when we're working with international clients and trying to deal with family members on the other side of the world, however, you know, so sometimes that poses a challenge, and I've had to deal with those issues, you know, in working with the international clients that I deal with, but
yeah.
I'm sure that that does happen, and I'm sure that we have systems in place to deal with that. I just really can't answer from a clinical perspective on what takes place when that does happen.
Well, that's fair enough, and I do know that with Skype and teleconferencing, and there are lots of different ways to include people that may check out and check back in. So now tell me about week five.
Well, week five is really a culmination of the treatment experience. It's that the beginning of the discharge plan, well, not really, because we really begin looking at the discharge process at the very beginning, but and incorporating the referring therapist throughout the process. But week five is continued processing of what happened in family week, making sure that the patient is feeling secure and ready to move towards another level of care, and if they're not, how do we address that? Making recommendations for aftercare, maybe extended care at the Meadows, or maybe it's a recovery home in another part of the country, or maybe they want to go back to their individual therapist and just do that. So it's really our core clinical team taking a look at where they are in week five, what they've been through, and how secure they feel in being prepared to leave and move forward with their recovery. We do a number of wonderful events for the patients, which is pretty special. We have, for those struggling with addiction issues, we will take them out, take them to a restaurant where alcohol is being served, take them maybe to a movie, but they need to have that experience of you know, being in an environment where they'll be faced with those challenges and kind of integrating them back into mainstream world, taking them to outside meetings, giving them the opportunity to slowly integrate into a community-like setting. Because after all, they've been kind of locked away in a cocoon for 5 weeks. So it's a great opportunity for them to do that. and still feel safe and supported. And then we also do a wonderful desert spiritual experience, which is a wonderful graduation-type ceremony for our clients in which they are able to really, it's a ritual, a spiritual ritual, but they're really able to release all of their shame, pain, resentment, whatever it is that they're feeling, and they take them out into the desert, and they do this beautiful ceremony, and, clients or patients will bring their letters or their journals, something that was an integral part of their treatment experience that they want to leave behind. And it's very symbolic, you know, they leave it in the fire and they say, you know, I'm burning my resentments, I'm giving up, you know, that life, and right now, today, I'm starting my new life. And so it's really powerful, it's really beautiful. I have had the opportunity to experience it myself on a number of occasions, and I just think it's an extremely special experience.
Oh, I can imagine, and that really, that metaphor of being able to burn, you know, your resentments or your anger, what we know to be true therapeutically is that when you experience a trauma and you can metaphorically put it together and then let go of it, you're much more likely not to take it back on again. So it sounds like week 5 has that very spiritual component and a very practical component of really kind of closing a chapter before they head back into the next transition of their life. And you said, obviously, that there's staff there to take them out. And I've always felt that that was necessary. You know, when we hospitalize people here in the city, they don't want to go home. They feel safe and secure, and they're afraid to go back to some of the same temptations and the same people, same events. They know they're stronger, but they realize that they may not have the same amount of support. And so it sounds like you really work hard at allowing them to transition. Now, both of my clients that I just referred in the last 3 months, one decided to go to a transitional living place and get additional therapy and support, and the other didn't feel like she could leave her 5 children, but I know she has had ongoing contact with the Meadows because they want her to know that she can come back at any point. So the Meadows really does some spectacular follow-up, realizing the clients are vulnerable.
Thank you. Yes, I think, you know, I believe that we do, and I truly believe that that's the difference in having successful outcomes, is offering that support. And I think that offering other levels of care, too, is also very important. We do have 2 extended care programs right on campus that a client could transition to. However, family circumstances, just as you said, parents with small children, you know, who can't afford to be away much longer, need to get back to their communities and to their families. So we work with a number of agencies around the country to make sure that we're making quality referrals and provide that support. We have a number of therapists across the nation that have trained in the Meadows model, that speak the same language, that, you know, if they weren't working with an individual therapist, that we can make sure that they have therapeutic resources to go back to. But we also offer wonderful workshops that, as I mentioned, with survivors, they're offered on an outpatient basis. And so clients can go home, and if they feel like they're struggling or they're, you know, having trouble staying in recovery and they need that reconnection, we have workshops that are week-long intensives that are designed to deal with those issues. So they're a wonderful jump start for anyone who hasn't considered treatment before. Maybe they've been working with a therapist for a long time and they're struggling and they're in a stuck place and they just can't get past where they are. They're a great jump start for those folks. But they're also a great reconnection for folks that have been through our primary inpatient treatment program, and it gives them the opportunity to reconnect.
Yeah, I would assume they're like refresher courses for,
they are,
for those people that maybe need some additional intensive work.
Mm-hmm. They are, and we offer 9 different workshops, but it depends on the individual and their needs. But those are available, with great regularity. Survivors One happens every single week except for Christmas and the New Year week. So very available. We have a clinical staff that can support them on the phone to determine which workshop would be best for them, where are they at in their recovery, what do they need, how can we be supportive. So, you know, at any time I say don't struggle with what you need, just pick up the phone and call and ask, you know, this is where I am today, and we say how can we help, and, you know, help them find the treatment that they need.
Now, is there a 24-hour line or something that's available to people if they need to talk about what their issues are and they want to find out if the Meadows can help?
Yes, we do have a 24-hour intake and admission department. They can call the Meadows, 800-244-4949 for our intake and admission department. We also have the ability to chat through our website, you know, through the technological advances, the chat, instant message chat line that goes right to an intake intake and assessment clinician who can help them, you know, if they prefer to be anonymous and chat rather than to call on the phone. We can handle that as well.
So there are lots of safe ways that they can get some of their questions answered and get more information.
Absolutely.
Okay, so again, that is www.themeadows.com or 1-800-244-4949. And, you know, we were talking about the fact that obviously you believe that the Meadows differs from other treatment centers in a lot of different respects, especially with working so diligently on the emotional trauma and using that model to help people reduce their shame, pain, and guilt. Tell me about the senior fellows. I thought that sounded like an interesting part of the Meadows model.
Sure. Well, the Meadows senior fellows are really the pioneers in the addiction recovery, trauma recovery world. We have Pia Melody, obviously, who founded the Meadows model, but we also have Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who's a cutting-edge psychiatrist out of Boston who really is integral in the work of trauma for children and adolescents and has just really championed the Meadows cause through cutting-edge research support, ongoing trainings for our staff and supervision work. And he has also come and done workshops for our clients. We have Dr. Peter Levine, who is really the founder of Somatic Experiencing, or SE, which is a treatment modality for dealing with trauma as it's stored in the body. He wrote a wonderful book called Waking the Tiger, Healing the Trauma Within, and he is just a phenomenal resource. We have Dr. Jerry Buriskin, who is just an expert in dealing with PTSD, and he is really responsible for a lot of the great work that we're doing for PTSD clients and the military today at the Meadows. We are now preferred providers for TRICARE and particularly TriWest. So we're really excited that we have been recognized as a premier provider for TRICARE and that we're able to provide PTSD treatment for the military, and that's really a lot of the work that Dr. Buriskin has championed. And then we have Dr. Shelley Aram, who is a Harvard-trained, triple-board certified psychiatrist who talks for the Meadows nationally and internationally on trauma and its effect on the brain. So really putting the science and the research behind the treatment and, you know, just I think the difference in having a level of staff that's unparalleled.
Now, is Dr. John Bradshaw on your staff?
Yes, he is. Thank you. I can't believe I forgot Dr. Bradshaw. John Bradshaw.
I thought, unless he's gone, and it was gone this week. My clients are always so honored to get that information from Dr. Bradshaw because he is, you know, he is the founder of dealing with childhood wounds and the inner child, especially when it relates to alcohol.
Yeah. And John has been with the Meadows for many years now and is still an integral part of our program. He leads our alumni recovery retreat every year. He comes out to the Meadows very frequently and will lead 12-step recovery groups. He'll do patient lectures. He'll train staff. He's still doing that core shame work like no one else, and has really, it's his shame work that we have integrated in the Meadows, the shame reduction work that has also made our model just so powerful.
Mm-hmm. So if you come to the Meadows and you are involved in some of the intensive workshops or you become a resident, you're considered alumni. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then as an alumni, you qualify to come back to some of the alumni events that really kind of celebrate recovery and celebrate personal growth and empowerment.
Absolutely. We have, like I said, an annual alumni retreat, which is a three-day event. They're hosted in different cities throughout the country, but, there's information about our alumni retreats on our website. All of our senior fellows regularly contribute to our blog site, which you mentioned, addictionrecoveryreality.com. Those articles are there as a resource. I can't stress enough the importance of that site and really using that to educate your clients, your patients, and families. I reference it all the time. But yes, alumni have access to our blog. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We're staying in connection with our alumni through our alumni support office. So a number of different events that are held throughout the year for alumni.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so you can imagine that so many people, when they think about residential treatment or they think about hospitalization, they do it with their head hung low and they feel like they're a misfit or like they're never going to get better and they need this kind of work. And what I admire so much about the Meadows is that it is really an opportunity for people to learn about themselves, get strong, recover, celebrate that recovery, and continue all the modalities that they used in the Meadows outside in their real world to the best of their ability. And you mentioned 12-step groups, and obviously that's parallel. I mean, that's just so important to recovery. And I mentioned the fact that these people continue to have relationships for years and years to come with their fellow residents. And so it really is a big family, and you do a great job of that. As we end for tonight, Jenna, is there anything else that you feel like we didn't touch upon that you want people to know as if they're questioning whether their drug, alcohol, sex problem is something that would be benefited from at the Meadows?
Well, absolutely. And I think the first thing that comes to mind is that, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you've been through an addiction program and you think you're working the steps and you're doing the work, but yet you're still feeling all of this pain and, you know, you're living in a vulnerable state, you don't have to live that way. You know, trauma does hijack our authentic selves. It does impact our ability to be functional. So, you know, if you haven't done the core trauma work, it's important. It's important for lasting recovery. Until you address those early childhood wounds, you know, lasting recovery is impossible because you can only stand that pain and vulnerability for so long before the addictive cycle creeps back and you're back to where you started. So I think it's so important to be truthful with yourself and where you are and seek help if you're not comfortable, you know, in your body before, you know, you continue that addictive cycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your information with our audience. And again, that's www.themeadows.com or the blog site, which is really interesting, www.addictionrecoveryreality.com. Jenna, thanks again, and good luck to you, and keep working it because we know that it works.
Well, thank you so much, Carol, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, and thank you so much for listening.
All right. Okay, so anybody who has a question, feel free to call the Meadows at 1-800-244-4949. They are really there literally to help you and to make your life as whole as possible. I mean, they have made it their mission to fight addiction, and they've created the tools that it takes to create an authentic and transparent life where you can have relationships. And we know that these kind of process addictions interfere with really healthy, whole relationships because you don't have that self-love for yourself. And so, obviously, the Meadows is one of the pioneers at creating all the programming needed to change your life most effectively. And I would highly recommend that you look into that program. And, you know, if for some reason you don't feel like you can go all the way out to Arizona, at least get on their blog and read from these experts. I mean, they're amazing experts. You know, this is free information, and you just never know. It might change your life. All right. So we are excited to be featuring so many of the experts in the field of addiction, and you and I both know that where sexual addiction is concerned, there is fusing, and where you oftentimes have a drug or alcohol problem in addition to a sexual addiction. So it's not just one addiction we fight. It's we unfortunately fight many, many others, and so the Meadows is a great place to go. And, of course, coming here and listening to the show every Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, is also a great way to get more education and more assistance in all sorts of ways to improve yourself or improve your family system. You know, we've got a lot of listeners that are not sexually addicted, but they love somebody who's sexually addicted. And next week, we're going to be featuring Lane and John Ledum, and you know that they have written many books on couples recovery, and they are going to be working with us at least once a month to help us to understand what you can do in terms of your relationship to get healthy and to stay clean and sober and in recovery. So we'll look forward to talking with them next week. Now, we're ending the show. I want you to have a great week. I want you to look at ways that you can take good care of yourself. I want you to know you are not alone in this issue, and there are always people to help. You may go to my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach, or if you want some coaching information, you can go to www.carolthecoach.com. And there's great information on another website. That's www.sexhelp.com. That's Patrick Carnes' site, my guru, and I really find him to be one of the most educated and proficient people out there in helping people to learn about themselves and their addiction. And as I end every show, there will always and only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly, I want you to have the courage to be yourself. Take some risks. Make some healthy choices. And let's keep talking together. Have a great week.